love of God. Appreciate that, Sister Bandy. That was beautiful. Thank God for the Spirit this morning that we're able to feel Him. Anything on your heart before we change the course of the service this morning? I have a great interest and a desire in your prayers this morning. I need the Lord's help. Oftentimes, I made a discussion back a couple of Wednesday nights ago that Brother Rick made a statement just a moment ago. This is by far the hardest job that I've ever had. And I take it very serious. Peter said that it's our responsibility to feed the flock of God. I always want to try to be found doing that. I certainly don't look for your empathy or your sympathy this morning, but I do have a desire in your prayers. I love this work. I love what it stands for. Back years ago when the Lord first called us, it terrified me. And still I find there's nervousness there. But on the same hand, when the Lord is helping us, there's no other place that I would prefer to be than standing behind His book board. There's a great honor in that. And I feel very blessed to have been called into the ministry. And I love the work. This morning, I want to say that I love the Lord's church. Greatest institution that we've been able to see and to be a part of on this side. And this morning, I want to try our very best in my weak ability to take it slow this morning. I want to try to do just a little teaching, if the Lord will be our help. But greatest institution. And it has been such an example to me in my young life, and is still an example to me today. It's an encouragement to me, the Lord's church. And I want to say this, oftentimes when we think about the Lord's church, we think of it in the aspect of this building and the four walls that we see. And though this is a place that we're able to gather together, that we are able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, it is not the church. This is just the building. We know this morning that the church is a body of local, independent, baptized believers. And this morning, that is the church. If this building that we gather in today, I know this morning that the tornado back last December come through, and it came pretty close to the building. And we know here that we were very blessed and very fortunate, but had that tornado come through and took every bit of board and sheetrock away, unfortunate as that may have been, we could have rebuilt. But we are the body of Christ. This is the body and what you see and what you look at. So if all things was able to fall away, we know that we still are the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for what it has meant to me throughout my life. And this morning, I want to be able to look at what the Scripture says and bring out a few points with the Lord being our help. I don't necessarily have a title this morning, but I do want to think about the importance of baptism and what it means to be fully immersed, what it means to truly be a part of the Lord's church. And I want to look at it in an aspect a little bit, if the Lord will be our help, as far as the bride of Christ, and we are His espoused bride. But this morning, I want to look at all of those things and the meaning of that and really what that means in our life and what a great honor it truly is to be a part of His church. And to be honest with you, a lot of times if we're not careful, we lose grasp of that, of truly how great of an honor and a privilege it is to be a part of the Lord's church and what He set up and what He instituted while He was here on this earth. And to be a part of that, as the Scripture teaches us, something that He gave His own life for, something that He shed His blood for, the love that He had for His church and for the body of the people, and yet for even His bride, there's a great amount of love that He has there this morning. And sometimes, if we're not careful, I think that we lose just the privilege that we have for that. I want to look this morning in Colossians in the second chapter. I want to take a little reading. And there are several places in the Scripture this morning, if the Lord will help us, I want to look at. In Colossians in the second chapter, we know here Paul doing the writing. And I want to look, if you will, starting in the 11th verse. In the second chapter. He says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, whom hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, but it took out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a shew of them openly, and triumphing over them in it." And I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to look in the 12th verse. "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also are you risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." And He says here, He said, "Being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of flesh, He has quickened together with Him, and have forgiven you all trespasses." This morning, as we look over here in Matthew, and I want to go over here for just a moment, if the Lord will be our help, and I want to look here in the third chapter of Matthew. He says in the 7th verse, "But when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to His baptism, He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but He that cometh after Me is mightier than thy, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor and gather His wheat into the granary, and He will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh of us to fulfill the righteousness. Then He suffered him. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This morning, when we think about baptism, and that word in its context means to immerse, and we believe as old-time Baptists, we sang that song earlier about an old-time religion, and I'm thankful this morning that we believe in full immersion. As old-time Baptist is what we believe in, but when you look back in Colossians, he talks about being buried with Christ that we might be raised through Christ. And this morning, that is a lot of kind of what we want to think about this morning as far as what it is to be a part of the Lord's church. And this morning, I want you to understand what it is and the importance this morning. First of all, as God's people, we know that we must have a testimony of salvation, of what it is to be born again. As Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. And yet John here, having the authority from God, that we know that as the Scripture teaches us, that he was the only one at this time that had authority to come preaching and teaching what it is to be baptized. But he told these Pharisees over here, he called them a generation of vipers. And he told them, he said, you must bring forth fruit meet for repentance. He said, you must give evidence of something that has happened to you. There has to be evidence that's given. There must be something that has taken place before we're able to baptize you. And yet he said, bring forth that fruit meet for repentance. Yet this morning we know that it is by an experience that something has happened within us this morning, that we know that there's a testimony that lies within us. There is something that we believe in a time and a place this morning, yet that when you were a sinner and lost and separated from God, that there is a time and a place this morning, yet that you can go back and know that something happened to you. There is a time and a place this morning that yet when I was just a little boy, that I can go back and know that there is something that happened. I know at one point, yet that I was damned, and I know that I was headed towards hell, and then within just a few hours of that, I don't know how long it was, but I know then and in that moment that God had saved my soul. There is something that happened. There was a change that had taken place. And yet we know that in the world today, there are those that are living by mere hope alone that say, well, I believe in works. I think if I live a good enough life, if I do this and I do that and I honor God this way and I do all of these things. Listen, you can be baptized as much as you want to be baptized, but unless this morning you have an experience and a knowledge of what it is to be saved, my friend, all you're getting is wet. That's it. But my friend, I want you to know this morning, just as John was there, and he told him, he said, you must bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. And yet we know that Jesus came that away. And yet John, looking up, he said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He said, I am not worthy to unloose the latch of his shoes. John knew who he was. He said, I'm not even worthy to unloose the latch of his shoes. He said, Lord, suffer that you baptize me. But Jesus said, no. He said, you must baptize me. Suffer this to be so, John. And we know there as John take him and baptized him there in the Jordan, it said there that God had spoken. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And yet we know there that the dove descended there, and that was a representation of the peace and the glory of God, and he was well pleased in that. This morning, I want you to understand, I believe in all of my heart, each and every time someone that's lost, that is saved, that is born again, I believe that God is pleased in those things, that makes him happy. And my friend, this morning, beyond that, when one unites with his church, I believe that pleases him too. I believe that pleases him too. But there is a special privilege that comes along with uniting with his church. I believe this morning that there is something special about it. There's something sacred about it. It ain't just about coming up and getting dipped in water. My friend, there's something about it. About becoming a part of something. About becoming a part of the body. About being united with one another. There's something special about that. And it's something the world don't understand. They think that merely can come up, and oftentimes there's some out there that believe that in sprinkling, there's some out there that believe that they're saved through that work of baptism. Listen to me this morning, and I'm so thankful as old time Baptists that we know what it takes to be saved. It's not about those works.
But this morning, my friend, I believe in all of my heart that if you've been saved, and I'll get to that point in a minute, I believe the Lord Jesus commands you to be baptized. And boy, some of our people don't like that. They say, "Preacher, I believe that you ought to be led of the Spirit." I believe that too this morning. But my friend, I believe in my heart, if you've been saved by His grace, He'll lead you to unite with His church. All in due time. When I was just a little boy, I didn't know much. I know this. When the Lord saved me there on an altar there at Rocky Mound, it wasn't too awful long, maybe a day or two after that, that they opened the doors of the church. And I'll tell you this, there was a knocking in here again, but it was a different kind of knocking that took place. See, the first time God knocked on my heart, He let me know that I was lost and separated from Him. He let me know that there was something that was different. But the second time that He knocked on my heart, He let me know, my friend, there was a peace that entered into my heart. And when they opened the doors of that church, He let me know that I needed to make a move. Nobody had to tell me. My grandparents was raised up old-time Baptists, and I thank God for them. But they didn't have to come to me and tell me, "Hey, you need to unite with the Lord's church." I'll tell you who let me know. God did. He knocked right there on my heart. And each and every time, my friend, that yet the Spirit bears witness with our spirit and God gives me something to do, yet still today, He knocks on my heart. Listen to me this morning. If you're a child of God, you know the voice of the Father. You know when He speaks to you. I'll say this. I remember just because she may whoop me afterwards, but my mother wasn't raised up this way. And the Lord saved her. Something I had prayed for many years. And I remember the first church there at Mount Zion where I was pastoring. She had been coming for several months. I thought, well, will the Lord lead her to unite with the Lord's church? And we opened the doors of the church one day, and here she come around, and she said, "I need to unite with this church." And I'll tell you, I thought my heart was about to just bust clean out of my chest. But after she began to stand there, she said, "I know exactly what you're talking about." She said, "All of these years I thought that y'all was crazy." She said, "But whenever I made my round away up here," she said, "it was like the Lord put His hand on my back and just pushed me up here and said, 'It's time.'" And then in that effort, we had the opportunity to take her down to the water's edge there where she was baptized. And let me say this morning, is the privilege that it was given to me to take her down there and baptize her. Honey, this morning, it wasn't me who done the baptizing. It was the church who has the authority to baptize. Yes, I believe you have to have a proper administrator. But it's through and by the authority of the Lord's church. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, it's something special. The Lord's church is special. Oftentimes, I remember when I was a boy and growing up over there around Rocky Mound, I'll tell you, even up into my teenage years, do you know that there was a fear about being a member of the Lord's church? Folks don't like talking about this too much. There was a fear there that if you got too far out of line, honey, that she was going to bring charges on you. Folks don't like talking about that now. My friend, it's our responsibility to keep her as clean as we can. She's His bride. It means something to be a member of the Lord's church. The world today sees it as a universal type church. They say, well, we're all part of a great big family. I want to say this morning. I'm not saying that Missionary Baptist is the only ones as far as the plan of salvation has got it figured out. I ain't saying that. I believe there's people all over this world that's been saved. No matter what denomination they're under. But I'll say this. And I stand in it today. I believe that we have the truth here. I believe that we preach the truth. I believe what you'll find in an old-time church is sound truth. And sometimes the truth is worth standing on every time. John the Baptist, the one that come declaring these things, behold the Lamb of God, because he was willing to stand upon truth and call sin for sin, he was beheaded and his head was placed on a charger. Because he was willing to stand upon the truth. What we have here is worth standing on. It's the only thing that we've got. It's the truth, the Word of God. Baptism. He said over there, let me go over here real quick. I want to look in Matthew in 28. I told you I was going to be around here and there. Matthew in 28, very familiar scripture to you this morning. He says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He told them, he said, go into all the world, teaching them, teaching them all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This morning, I want you to understand, and I believe in all of my heart, and there's some folks that don't like this terminology, but I'll just be honest with you. Why wouldn't you want to be baptized? I don't understand that. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand this morning the sense of, listen, there is nowhere in the Scripture that I can find that he said, tarry here yet this long and then go and be baptized. This morning I believe that when you're saved and you become saved and the blood has been applied to your heart, my friend, it's time then to unite with the Lord's church. You should start asking God, Lord, where is it that you might lead me? Where is it, God? This morning, this is a place where we can gather together. There is something special. When we hear prayer requests, those things aren't just to go out and to make a show for it, but people's asking you, they've got confidence in you to pray for their lost loved ones and to pray for them when they're having surgeries or they're going through sicknesses and illnesses. Listen, we're a band of pilgrims together in search of a city whose builder and maker is God. I know this morning I may not bring this out in a way, boy. It's special to me. It's His bride. It's special. When we look up here at the church covenant, oftentimes we don't pay a whole lot of attention to these things. But honey, I'm telling you, it's a covenant that we've went in together with one another, saying we'll do our best to live up to these standards. A covenant, it's a promise. I've seen people that say, well, preacher, I can't live up to that covenant. I don't want to unite with the Lord's church. Shame on you. Because, honey, I can't hardly live up to all the standards either. But I'll say this. The Lord's church has been one of the greatest blessings to me in my life. There's been times down through the years that I have asked her. She's been a mother to me. When Zion travails, she brings forth children. She's prayed for me. She's loved me. She's supported me. She's special to me. And when we unite with her, we're saying we're going to do our best to honor the agreement that we stepped in with, because we love the Lord and we love His church and we love His cause. It's special. That's the reason why this morning when we open the doors of the church up and we say, listen, come forth and give us an experience. Listen to me this morning. We're not trying to judge you. In your experience, I'm not looking for the most flattering words. The church ain't looking for the most flattering words of your experience. But honey, they're looking for something that changed within your heart. Everybody's experience is different. But what is it to be fully immersed? It's a picture of Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and His resurrection. It's special. It ought to mean something to you. It means something to me. When the Lord's given us the opportunity to go down to the water's edge, honey, I ain't going down there to play. It means something to me. Colossians said that you might be buried with Him. Listen, it's a picture saying I'm burying the old man. He's being buried in a watery grave. And a new man is coming up. You're showing the world the light that God has put in your heart. That you're going to live for Christ. That He means something to you. That He's your Savior. That you love Him. That you're taking a stand for Jesus and His cause. The Lord's church is special. It means something to carry the name Baptist. It's an honor and it's a privilege. To have been raised up in a country where we can get in our vehicle and drive a mile or two down the road and to step into an old-time church that believes and practices just like we do. When we enter into this place, it's all about Jesus. It's all about remembering what He done for you. It ain't about coming and taking and making. Listen to me, I'm thankful for the fellowship and all of those things we get to do. But I'm telling you, this right here is all about Jesus Christ. When we enter into this place, it's all about Him. And then when we leave this place, it's all about Him. We're an ambassador. We're a disciple. Listen to me this morning. He's cleansed us internally, and yet beyond that, He's cleansed us externally. Every day, every single day, Paul said that we must crucify the flesh. I'm putting that in layman's terms this morning. I'm paraphrasing that. But we must lay this flesh down. every day. And when we leave these four walls, we are a representation, an ambassador to the Lord's church. He said, you are the light of the world. He said, you're a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Listen to me, there's a light that glows out. I'm thankful this morning for public baptisms because people drive by and they see those things. They may not understand it, but we're still showing the world that with Him we've been buried and through Him we've been resurrected. Listen. I believe in my heart this morning that's what the Lord was teaching. I believe He's commanded us to be baptized, that He might receive all the honor and the glory from it. When we go down to the water's edge, if I ever get the privilege to do that here, to baptize somebody, we make a public statement saying, by their profession of their own faith, by a profession of their own faith. It's between you and the Lord. I believe we ought to question them enough that we ought to hear something that we're satisfied with. People don't like that either. Don't rub me the wrong way this morning. I'm not trying to be arrogant in this. But folks, if we can't question them enough to understand what it is they're talking about, how do they even know what they're talking about? They've got to know what took place. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I know of some that have came from different churches, and they say, well, preacher, I have a hard time with being rebaptized. The Lord has given us two ordinances that we're to follow. First, baptism. The second is the Lord's Supper. The Lord commanded us, He said, do this in remembrance of me. Unless we're a member of the Lord's church, unless you hold your membership somewhere that holds a closed communion service, you cannot do that in remembrance of Him. Now listen to me this morning. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just trying to tell you what I believe the Scripture teaches. What a privilege it is of God's people to be able to do those things. To sit back as a member of His church, of His body, and to do something that's so important, that signifies and represents the sacrifice that God made for us. That He tells us to take of this bread and eat of it, for it's His body. And to drink of this wine, for it is His blood. And to do that in remembrance of Him. First, we have to be a member of the Lord's church. And beyond that, we have to hold a testimony of salvation where God has saved our soul. I believe it's over here in John. John in the 19th chapter. He says this. The Jews therefore, because it was preparation that the bodies should remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, these shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And he said, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. There's a significance in that. As Jesus had done, said that it is finished, he had done given up the ghost. Therefore, they did not have a need to come around and break his legs, because yet he was already dead. But yet this soldier took this spear and pierced his side, and forthwith came blood and water. And my friend, the significance in that is, first, the blood must be applied to the heart. You must be saved. There must be an experience of salvation. And then, I believe we are to be baptized. When we look over there at Philip and the eunuch said, what suffer me to be baptized? And I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, this morning I believe in all of my heart, when we've placed our trust and confidence in the Lord and we've got an experience of peace and salvation in our heart, then we can be baptized. To be a member of the Lord's church, his bride. When I think about that this morning, I think about my bride. If you want to hear, and for time's sake, I'll not go over there this morning. If you want to read one of the greatest love stories that you've ever read in your life, go over to Songs of Solomon and spend a little time in that scripture over there. That is some of the most beautiful writing about the love of the Lord and for his church. The Lord loves his church. This is how much he loves it. Ephesians 5 says this. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be twain in one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And I want to stop there for just a moment. He said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There is a great love. And yet, as Paul spoke of a great mystery here, he said, I speak of a great mystery concerning the Lord and his church. I relate just like other pastors and other preachers. I don't know and understand fully and comprehend each and everybody that'll be in the bride. I don't know. I've heard people ask, well, who will be in the bride? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be in the bride. I don't know. But what I'll say is this, it is a great honor and a great privilege to be a member of the Lord's church. He loved his church so much, his bride so much, that he gave his life's blood for it. When I think about the love that I have for my bride and how much I love her,
and how much me and her have went through things together, there's not a thing in this world that I wouldn't do for my bride. And I don't mean to get too personal with you, but I'll just tell you, I'd take a bullet for her. It wouldn't matter to me in this world. Obviously, I mean, I'm not looking to cross the river yet, but I love my bride. The Lord give her to me, and she's mine. She's my helpmate. And I'm thankful for her. But as much as I love her, the love that I have for her doesn't comprehend or even come close to the love that God has for his bride. He loves his church. And I believe in everything this morning that he wants us to be a part of his church. I truly don't know this morning if you can enjoy the full advantages of your salvation until you unite with the Lord's church. If you want to experience it, if you really want to fully grasp what it is, this morning I encourage you that if you feel led, let somebody know. I want to say this morning. You won't hear me begging for members, but I'll beg you to follow the Lord. I'm not about numbers, but we're about sharing the gospel and what God has done for us. I encourage you this morning to follow the Spirit of the Lord. I'll encourage you this morning to do what it is that God lays upon your heart. Church, I want to encourage you this morning that if God impresses upon you to open the doors of the church, than to open the doors of the church. It's not an aspect, I'm not saying it's something that we need to do every Sunday, but I'll tell you this, if the Lord impresses us to do it, then we need to do those things. There's something special here, church. We are a local, independent body of baptized believers. Right here. And there's a responsibility that God has given us to share the Great Commission. And boy, I'm so thankful for this church and her efforts and what she does. She's such a help. But church, there's more for us to do. There's more work to be done. Follow the Spirit of the Lord. Be busy. Be diligent. Be about His business. This morning, that's our message. If you've never been baptized, first you've got to be born again. And then you need to be praying about seeking somewhere to unite with the Lord's church. She's a help to you. I'm so thankful for the help and the aid that she has been to me through the years. She has taught me. She's picked me up from falling. She's been a true help to me, and I'm thankful for her. I hope and I pray each and every member can see just how good and how precious his church is. Brother Strode, if you'll get us a song this morning, we'll get ready to have a verse of song. Is there anything on your heart this morning? Anything. If you're here and lost and you need to seek God, I encourage you to do that. We want you to know what it is to be saved and to have a peace within your heart. Won't you come and seek the Lord if He's dealing with you?
142. 142.